to the RunnerX podcast, where we talk about all things running. As many runners know, it's 90% mental. So join Coach Valerie and Coach Caroline as we go through the mental side of running.
Welcome back to the RunnerX podcast. I'm your host, Coach Caroline, and I'm here with Coach Valerie. Coach, you recently, on one of our other channels, had somebody mention a concept called knee driving. And we've heard that before. We hear these all the time. Knee driving, stride, foot strike. Where should my ankle go? What should I do with my foot? Can you talk about knee driving? What do they mean there? What do you say to do with the knee and why? And then kind of go into some of those other things and how they're words, but they don't mean what they think they mean.
Right. So the challenge in running is that we try to mimic what we see. Most runners, they see arms and legs moving, so therefore they move their arms and legs. It's really right. Like that's kind of just, and it's supposed to be running natural, right? You're supposed to know how to run. So your whole life, you've really never been taught there's a way of running. So that's okay. It's just for most people. So then most running lingo comes from track and field. This is where knee drive comes in. Push off, pump your arms. This is usually coming from like faster running or track and field. And then endurance running, there's really no skill development except what? Just go run more miles, right?
Right.
However, if anyone that's ever done a marathon or any long distance running, you'll sometimes see people yell things like, stand tall, you know?
Yeah.
Shorten your steps. Just really, you know, nothing really.
Open your stride.
Yeah. Open your stride. So all of these things, by the way, are, it's like it's byproducts.
Yeah.
No one's really telling you how to do these things. So the actions that you hear, like drive your knee, what does that really mean? Or put one foot in front of the other. I love that one because I'm like, well, unless you're on a tightrope, and people will say to me, people always go, Valerie, come on. I'm like, no, you come on. Because think about what the words you use become your actions. They become your intent. So if someone's telling you to drive your knee, you need to have knee drive. What does that mean to you when you just hear those words? Like if I said, hey, Caroline, I'm going to drive my knee.
Yeah, like wouldn't it be like a high knee or lifting my knee up?
Well, I don't, like, I have two puppies, and when they're running at you, you lift your knee.
That's true. That is absolutely true.
They jump with both paws. Yeah. So, like, to me, any lifting of the knee is a block. You know, like, it's a block. It's a stop. It's you're protecting, like, something from hitting you, basically.
Right.
If you're lifting your knee up. So my challenge is think about the words and then the actions and the challenge in running. So, and let me just, as you, I'm sure you guys already know this, but I coach a method called Poe's Method of Running, which I learned about in the late 90s through his book. Dr. Romanoff wrote a book called The Poe's Method of Running. I found it when I was actually training for my first triathlon, training other people for a triathlon in the 90s. And it's the first time ever that I had seen any thing on an action of running ever. And I'd been taught the same thing. You're supposed to push off the back, reach with your front. If you want to increase your stride length, you've got to reach that foot out there. That's how they told me at the running shoe store. And I didn't question it initially because that's what runners were telling me. And I wasn't a runner. So I was like, all right, sounds like that works.
Yeah.
I didn't even question it. And then if you actually think about it, pushing off the back, if you put something behind you and you push, that's applying pressure. So if I apply pressure by pushing into the ground, that's actually adding impact and chance of injury on my joint for running. It's great. If it's great, guys, if you want to push to jump, yes, you push off to jump. In running, we don't want to jump. We want to minimize impact. We want to minimize vertical oscillation. So it really makes no sense to have that push off. And then we counter that with knee drive. You got to have knee drive. You got to have knee drive. Well, it's the same thing. If I'm lifting my knee, I'm actually stopping my movement. And I'm actually, my back is compromised because the minute you pick your knee up, your shoulders go back.
Right.
So all of a sudden now you've compromised your body weight. So knee drive is a misnomer because the knee never actually lifts. And this is wild because anyone that's seen sprinting or they've seen like pictures on magazines, you know, and we see that leg, you know, those legs extended. So in people's mind, they think the knee is lifted. If you actually start to look at the picture, your knee never lifts. Your whole leg travels forward, but the knee itself points down the entire run. And it's very challenging because the knee itself is a joint. It has no action. It just, it's a joint. So the leg will bend or straighten. The knee itself isn't causing any of that action. That's an important, the knee responds. So the reason in running, the people that run the fastest, they also have the highest cadence, is because instead of pushing or reaching, they simply pull their foot. They just don't know how to describe that. They don't use the word. It's not a common word. So the challenge is when somebody wants to tell me, like this guy said, hey, Valerie, you're almost there. You're just missing the knee drive. it's really hard because I don't want to be snarky. So what's the gait cycle to you? Because I know the gait cycle is pose, fall, pull. And when you pull the foot up and you use the hamstring, you're actually reducing impact on the knee by over 50%. And there's actually a study that goes with that. So like I have the research and I've been doing this for almost 30 years. So it's hard because, you know, you're going against not just someone's, but kind of like they're very emotional about their beliefs.
Yes.
So like my answer to him was just, hey, check out Pose. And he immediately came back and was like, no, read this book. It's by this guy who trains Olympic athletes and he's a chiropractor. And I'm like, I've been training runners for 35 years.
And Dr. Romanoff trained Olympic runners, you know.
Well, and that's a challenge too, because, you know, Carol and I laugh. Our goal is for people to run pain-free.
Right.
And the reality is every single marathon, they always say, I've been coaching runners for marathons for years and years. Like I said, close to 30 years. And when I first ran my very first marathon, people said to me, just so you know, there's one out of two injuries. One out of two runners are injured training for marathons. And this was my first marathon was 1999, 2000. And guess what? Today, 25 years later, still the same. There's no change of injury. We've got these shoes and we've got this gear and we've got all of this stuff. The injuries stay the same. And I'm like, why is no one willing to just help people bend their knees and pull their foot and hold their body up? And just real quick, it is now, what's fun is, it is the only method that's used for continuing education and physical therapy. It's also the running of the military. So it has gotten some benefit, I guess, some brand recognition, if you will.
But
the reality is, as I can tell you, is that no one wants to admit there's a way to run. It's like, it's a stigma. And because I didn't come from running, I didn't care. I was like, oh, nice. There's a way to run. And so it's challenging because I get it. Like I know what they're looking at and I get what they want to see and what we've heard all of our life. Like because we see, like I said, again, we see the arms and legs moving and it's a little bit confusing, but guys, what's so cool, the only action that there is in running is you only have to pull your foot. That's it.
Right.
And then
what happens, and we've seen this with our runners, is it seems too simple. It seems too easy. And there is a lot of mindset that goes with it, guys. But if you can get past it, if you can work with it, you will learn that it is really that easy. It really is that efficient and it really can work for you. The one thing I always say about our runners and coming into the membership and giving us a chance is the only people that have ever failed that this has not worked for are those that have quit. Anybody that comes in and follows the plan and does the work, gets a gait analysis, comes onto a Zoom. And we've even had people that have come through, and I always find this crazy. They never get a gait analysis. They never do a check-in, but they follow the drills. And they'll still cancel and say, I got what I needed out of it. So it's like, okay, you're running pain free. Cool. What's so crazy is that you have this added benefit of actually having a coach watch your movement that you can't get anywhere else. You can follow our stuff for free on YouTube, on Instagram. You can do the drills yourself. Absolutely. But if you really want that extra benefit of having somebody watch you do the movement at the time you're doing it, either I'm going to record it today and send it to you, or I'm going to take a little bit of time and come on the Zoom live with you and have you correct me in real time, just like if I was at a clinic, but I don't have to come to Dallas to have you do it. It's like I can do it in the privacy of my own home. So I find that challenging, but the point of it is no one has ever come back and been able to say it didn't work. They will say it's too much work. They'll say, I don't have the time to put into this. This is a lot of, you know, wow, it's a, I've got to, like we were talking about last week, or, well, you know, I've got to do the hard work, right?
Yeah, and I have to interject real quick, because this kind of goes back to, and I said this last week, I think what people mistake as work is it's that I've never done this movement before. It feels awkward. And this is when I say to you, if you came to a clinic and I did the movement with you and everyone else was doing it, it wouldn't be awkward. It's right. Because you're like by yourself, you know, you're at home. And that's why it's so worth talking to me and letting me talk you through it. And guys, just a real quick side story. When I first learned this, and I actually went, I had Dr. Romanoff come to Austin, and then I went and spent weekends at his house for hours and hours because I was fascinated by the learning. And when he met me, he was like, oh my gosh, how are you a runner? Like, he couldn't believe he'd been working with like Olympic athletes at the Olympic Training Center in Colorado. And then I'm like, oh, I'm Valerie Hunt. And he's like, what's your marathon time? I'm like 3:40. And he's like, what? He's, you know, that's not exciting for a Olympic coach. But what was great is he did the same with me when he realized, you know what? She wants to be a coach. I kept saying to him, I'm not the athlete. I just want to coach, be able to run myself pain-free. But mainly I want to coach people. He changed his perspective because he at first was like, oh my gosh. But to be fair to him, he taught me also how to race. Guys, I was an 8:30 runner when I met him. He got me to a 6:30 pace with no change in my fitness. It only changed in the efficiency of my running. And that's the other reason I'm such a great coach is because I didn't come out of the Olympics or track and field. I'm a runner just like you, runner.
Yeah.
And it works. But the reality is we all need elasticity. We all need to work on our balance. So when you see it as too much work, I want you to remember that everything that the practice is, and they're all 5 to 10 minutes, it's not really long. The benefit in your rest of your life is amazing. So I had to pitch that real quick.
No, that's absolutely right. Now, some other words that we hear a lot of are foot strike and stride, right? So that all has to do with the fact that they're trying to recreate the running cycle from what they see, not necessarily what it truly is, correct?
Correct. Yeah, okay. And it's a challenge because, you know, like if you buy one of those, I don't know, people wear all the gadgets. The first one that came out had a foot pod. Now it just tells you on your Garmin or your watch. So in the beginning, you know, people didn't really understand cadence. So then they were measuring things like their foot strike. And it's like anytime you think the word strike is hitting. You don't want to hit.
Yeah.
You don't want to hit the pavement. You don't want to hit the track. You don't want to hit any of that. And so again, it's just that mindset shift of what running is. Running shouldn't really be painful in the joints and the feet. It should be painful in the ego and the breathing. Running's humbling enough. So the challenge is just like recently somebody asked me, and I love the questions, guys, please ask, like, I like it. What do I do with my ankle? Nothing. Right. Let it go. You've got to let go of any unnecessary action. And this is really important. The reason that the runners in the front, the elites, are so smooth looking is they know they're intuitive. They only need to do this. They only need to hold their body up. They only need to pull their foot. So do you.
Yeah.
So you're actually creating so many more actions that are needed in your run. You just don't realize it. So we're actually helping you get more efficient And letting your body do more of its natural work. So many people's injuries are actually from their own tension of having thoughts that are unnecessary, you know, like pushing and reaching and worrying about where they're landing on the ground, or, you know, trying to make movements happen that are not necessary. Like, if you want to increase stride length, increase your range of motion and your cadence. So in range of motion, what does that mean? That means you've got to stretch. You've got to do hip openers and the runner's lunge and anything that's going to help you increase range of motion. But most importantly, you've got to understand what is running. So I've got to be able to pull my foot, because the reality is you can have your legs separate, but if you're on the ground, you're just on the ground. And so the challenge for people is they're seeing it backwards, right? We see stride length as like this big reach, but once you realize your stride length is only your pose to pose, everything else happens in flight. And we help you change that thought of lifting up and pulling up. You need to have floppy ankles for sure. You can't think about that while you run. You got to work on that outside of your run. And then all of a sudden when you put it into play and you realize, oh, understanding of running, it makes sense now that what my ankles are doing is on the ground, they are pulling up along with the rest of your foot. That's what your ankle is doing. But as soon as you let the foot go, the ankle is allowed to release. So your foot can actually be able to move in flight. So I love these conversations, but what you got to realize when you run, you have less than a tenth of a second to pull your foot. Who cares what your ankle's doing? Pull, right? You have to. You want to know what's going on. I love being a geek, but then you got to let it go and just, and then accept it so that when you run, you know your ankle's doing what it's supposed to do.
So everything you're saying, we're recording this, but and this will come out in after. You're going to do a video, though, talking about these very things and showing us what you mean when you're talking about that pull. Now, some of you might have been following us for a while, so you get it. But she's going to break down this actual concept of knee driving and why you don't drive with your knee. She's going to look at things like the ankle and the foot. She's going to do like a deep dive into this concept of what am I doing with my knee? Where should it be? Where should it not be? The question I always had is why, like, we've talked about this before and you'll answer it hopefully in the YouTube video, is when should I, if I'm feeling it in my quad, that means I'm not doing it correctly. I'm not letting my hamstring do the work. And she can show you how to like work on that. But if you're listening to us on any other podcast platform other than YouTube, go to our YouTube channel and check it out. It'll be a deep dive. It'll be in the deep dive playlist, and you can see everything she's talking about here. Now, if you're on YouTube and you go, oh yeah, she talked about this in the last deep dive. Fantastic. Leave us a comment or question right here on the podcast or on that deep dive. If something didn't click for you, if something that she's explaining, like, I still don't get it, trust me, it's better to ask the question, because we've all asked it. I guarantee it. One of us, either myself or in the membership or at a clinic, she's heard it all. So there's
and very, I've asked it.
And she's asked, yes, long before she ever became a coach and worked with RunnerX, she was asking it of Romanoff. That's absolutely true, guys. And that's what made me want to start this journey with her on this podcast, is there's so much that she's been through that you don't realize, that I want us to kind of become part of that community. So please, in the comment below, ask a question. If you're listening to this on a podcast platform, send us through a review. If you just want to know a little bit more about the membership and maybe you don't have time to read through the site and just have a quick question, we have that happen a lot. Just email me at support@runrx.fit. That's support@runrx.fit. And I'd be glad to answer for you. Thanks, guys.
Thank you for joining us on the RunRx podcast. If you'd like to know more, join us at www.runrx.fit. And if you have additional questions that you'd like answered on the podcast, email us at support@runrx.fit.